Today I just want to say a few words about discernment and the need for discerning the will of God in our lives. And discernment is not always easy, as you probably know. We can sit and think about these things and say, what is God's will for me, and what must I do, and how must I conduct myself, and so on. And perhaps some of us don't ask the question. But nevertheless, discerning the will of God is very important. The background to it is that man is created in the image and likeness of God, and we have free will. So, how can we have free will, truly free will on the one hand, and yet the will of God on the other, and then bring the two together? And what is actually the case is that while there are those who are called to unique and special roles in the life of the church, there, in reality, there is freedom. So the question is, how do we figure this out? And the difficulty is that let's say you say, okay, I want to know exactly what the will of God is for me. You started praying and said, I want to know what the will of God is. And the reality is that we would then not be acting according to our own freedom. And part of our salvation is that God seeks to perfect our whole person, and that perfection involves the will. So the question, the reality is that discerning the will of God involves making choices, and making choices that lead us to God. And in order to make choices, we are given a rational mind, and we're given, as it were, a spiritual mind, the nous. And it's true that I think whether people are on the path to sanctification and holiness or not, people have reason, and they're able to analyze things and make choices that, you know, in parameters. The difficulty, of course, is that reason itself will not lead you to faithfulness to God. And this has been proven over and over again, particularly in the history of the church, where those who relied on reason itself fell away always in a condition of self-will and pride. It's amazing because, you know, it's so easy to think of ourselves as being, you know, very intelligent, very capable, and so on, and we trust ourselves. The reality is that there is an aspect of reason, which is from at the noetic, we call it the spiritual dimension, and the fathers call it the nous. And the nous is very fascinating because it may not be analytic, or we may not be aware of its analytic activity, but we know through our conscience, we're able to discern certain things through our conscience. And the thing is, so if we're going to follow the will of God, our conscience must be clear. And this brings us right back to the foundation of everything that we do, which is living our lives in the context of the church and its various obediences. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and the life of inner purity. And so it is in participation in the divine services, in confessing our sins, and presenting ourselves to the Lord to receive His holy mysteries. And these things bind us to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and they keep our conscience alive. There are, of course, many, many obstacles, and I know them from personal experience. We have so many distractions, and we know that the devil, the spirit of He's always trying to deceive us. And you know, we live in this remarkable world of addictions, really. And I'm sure that addictions have existed since the beginning of mankind. But it's somehow the society and its technology and all of the things that go on has found this compulsive, passionate aspect of our personalities, and has found it and it directs its call to us to our passions. And you know, we what happens is we find a zone. This is very important. I mentioned it many times. You know, we're not really going to the left, or we're not really going to the right. We're driving right down the middle of the road, and you know, we're not going to go too far into our dark side on the one hand, but we're not going to go into, as it were, our light side or the spiritual side. We want to go right down the middle of the road. And what's fascinating is that in down the middle of the road, there's just so many passions. And you think, for example, television and the programs that are on television. And if you were to say, okay, what do these programs have to do with the salvation of my soul? What do they have to do with the benefit of my life? What do they have to do with preparing me to serve others? And the reality is that I submit that the largest majority of our population finds in that middle zone addiction. Addicted to something outside of ourselves. To, as it were, fill some void, or if you were to put it in a more stronger way, to enslave us. And you know, we get really upset when we see people who get addicted to things that are really, really serious, that often lead to self-injury and death and great harm. And in the same time that we're, broken and hurt by these things, we have to look at our own lives and say, well, maybe we're addicted. Maybe we're possessed, as it were, by all of this imagery and controlled to some degree by it and enslaved by it and rendered impotent, really, when you think about it. And it's fascinating because, you know, people work very hard in the workplace, and they often come home and turn on the TV and listen to the sounds and other things. And, you know, it's just, well, I need this as a reprieve, not realizing that the very thing that we're listening to is sucking the positive energy right out of our soul and body. So we find ourselves exhausted. And of course, we attribute it to the hard work of the day, not to the passions that we submitted to in our leisure. And the thing, in fact, and so what happens is, where and when and how do we pick ourselves up and turn to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ? Because we need to discern what it is that's necessary for salvation. And we have to have the strength of will to choose it. The determination. We have to force ourselves. And it's fascinating, again, I think, because everyone, that, no matter what level of achievement you have in your lives, in reality, you had to work for it. You had to get training, you have to study, you have to practice your arts, and you work for these things. And it's fascinating because then you look at the educational system, and you know, it's 12 years of school before you graduate from high school, and if you tack on another four for just a general college degree, and then another 3 to 5 for, you know, something like, you know, the higher level professions. And it's not just that you idly go through these courses, that if you take them seriously, they demand a great deal from you. And, you think back as a student, I remember times when I probably didn't sleep for 2 days fulfilling the needs of either a paper that had to be written and trying to achieve a certain level of excellence, or an examination that was necessary to do well. So these are the things in the world. And one might say, what about entering the kingdom of heaven? I mean, do we just slide into the kingdom of heaven? Ease our way into the kingdom of heaven? And the answer is no. It doesn't work that way. Because we must take that energy of will that we use to prepare ourselves to survive in the world and put it to work trying to acquire a relationship with our Savior, trying to acquire the grace of God in our lives, and trying to fulfill what He has for us. And our Lord is merciful, and He gives us the freedom to do these many different things. But the question is, what principles are we serving? What principles are we serving? And obviously we know about greed. We hear about greed. When is enough enough? At what point does one say, I have enough? And actually, the way the world's structured today, and the way they have inflation and everything, you've never going to have enough. At least the people in the middle and below are not going to have enough. You just can't have enough. It's impossible. You can't keep up with inflation. You can't keep up with the cost of housing. It's impossible. And so there's this whole thing, when am I going to have enough? When am I going to have enough? Or am I going to say, no. I'm going to trust God, live in the in the strata in which I live, and dedicate myself to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and trust that He will provide. Trust that He will provide, and that's a very, very difficult thing to do, is it not? Everything in the world is the voices continuously. You can't succeed. You're going to have all these difficulties. Things are going to happen. How are you going to provide for yourself? It goes on and on and on. And the reality is that for those who love God, all things are possible. And all things work for good. And what we discover is that in faithfulness, God provides. And it might not be that we win the lottery, of course. But just in subtle and simple ways, if we dedicate ourselves to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and to the life of Christ that we have received from the holy apostles and the holy fathers and the holy church undivided, the way of life that we have received, if we dedicate ourselves to this life, God will provide. He will give us the means and the to move forward and to take care of our world. And this, of course, is an amazing thing, because when you turn away from the world and start to dedicate yourself to the things of God, little things will come up and you'll say, wow, that's amazing. That really was amazing. That helped me. That gave me strength. It gave me peace. It actually provided something that I needed that I didn't even know that I needed. And this, in a sense, is this. It's a simple thing. Just to dedicate ourselves to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we have to do, which we can speak about over and over again, is we have to keep our thoughts pure. It's very simple. I mean, I don't do the exercise here. I don't want anybody to fall off into darkness. But you know as well as I do, a certain thought will come to you and drag you into a darkness. Well, if it's possible for thoughts to drag you into darkness, whether it's be anger, and remembrance of wrongs, or it's be lust, or you know, whether it be other passions that we have, once the attention goes to those passions, then we find ourselves struggling against the force that pulls us into self-indulgence. So if it's true of the passions, it's also true of holy things. So in order to have discernment, we must continuously apply ourselves to the things of God. We have to say our prayers. Forgive me, I know I say the thing every, the same thing every week. We have to read scriptural passages appointed for the day. We should have a reading program. Everyone should have a reading program. I remember years ago, it's so simple, you might seem serious, but you know, I would be reading things that were spiritual, and I'd fall asleep. And then I'd pick up, a kind of magazine, it might be, National Geographic or the Smithsonian or something like that. Start reading it, wake right up again. No, seriously. And it happened often enough that given my self-observation, I thought to myself, this is fascinating. What is going on here? And what was going on is when I was doing this spiritual reading, I was encountering the grace of God, and it was pouring down on my passions, and I couldn't take it. So put it aside, read something secular. Wake up. Really. So the fact of the matter is that as we pursue spiritual things, we're going to find that there's resistance. There's always resistance. And one should say it's the devil. Well, in some sense it is, but it's really our own passions. Our own passions, our own love of the world, our own love of vanity, and self-exaltation, and love of praise of others, and so on. And we have to fight against it, because we're drenched in it. And that's the darkness out of which we are attempting to rise. And we have to exert ourselves. The whole, thing of ascetic, it means struggle, ascesis, to struggle. The struggle against our passions. And you can attribute to the devil, but it's our passions. Those things that we love so much, that give us so much pleasure, and we have to put them aside. Obviously, you can't put all the passions aside, but you have to develop a certain balance where the passions are not overwhelming you and not controlling what you think and not controlling what you do. But you have now found the grace of God and discover within finding it that certain things just seem to happen to help you and to give you guidance and to strengthen your will and to cleanse your mind. And you get to a point where you begin to not to despise your passions. This passion, but on the other side, you get to the point where you begin to truly love the experience of God's peace and grace, which you find in His Word and in His mysteries. But no effort, it's down the middle of the road, pandered to the passions to the point of not quite self-destruction, give service to God, but not so much that it's going to create any inner turmoil, any conflict. So here we are. Brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day, let us resolve once again to turn our hearts and minds to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, to the teachings of the Holy Gospels and of the Holy Epistles, and to the teachings of the Fathers, the spiritual fathers, and to full participation in the life of the church. And about participation in the life of the church, we really need it. For example, we always have Saturday night service. Very lovely service. I understand it's very, very difficult for people to come to Saturday night service. And, of course, the way the world is organized, it's made it difficult, actually, because often two spouses are working and it's Saturday day to do all the things. And it's very complicated. On the other hand, one might say, once a month I'm going to go to Saturday night service. And what might happen is once in a month that you go to Saturday night service, you may taste the grace of God in your heart and mind in a way that you think, I think I'll go twice a month. I'm so much happier in the context of the divine services. I find a peace. And then when you link the divine services to divine liturgy, it just makes it a much more profound experience. And so there are these things that we can do to try to grow in Christ. And we need to challenge ourselves. That's what it comes down to. We have parents who are always, you must do your homework, and you must study this, and you must, you've got lots of guidance. Well, the same parent that lives inside of you needs to say, turn around and step outside and say, you must do the following things in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. For whose sake? Not just for your own sake, but for the sake of the salvation of those whom you love. Because if you enter the kingdom of heaven just a little bit, you will be mediators of the uncreated energies of God, and they will affect your household and your whole life and those around you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit.